This is a message that was recorded at Word of Life, a London City church in Lewisham, London. May God bless you as you listen.
Effect and consequences of pornography. Amen. I'm currently reading a book by Charles Finney. And in one of the chapters, he talks about innocent amusements. Amen. Innocent amusements. And listen to what he says. He asked this question: what are not innocent amusements? And what are not? What are innocent amusements? And what would you say are not innocent amusements? And again he says, this is a question of morals all intelligent agents must have. They must be either in the wrong or in the right. And he says, nothing is innocent in a moral agent that is not in accordance with law and the gospel of God. What is he saying there? He's saying that the things we will call innocent amusement, if it's against the will of God, if it's against the law of the land, then it's not innocent. Amen. It is not innocent. Everything we do in this life has a consequence. And when we look at today's world, pornography has become so ripe. I was speaking to my brother earlier, Brachuks, and he said that already they want to begin to text it on phones, on mobile phones. The video phones. So, do you know what will happen? Once you have it on video phones, children will begin to Bluetooth it to one another. Amen? Now, listen to this. Nearly 900 theaters show X-rated films, and more than 15,000 adult bookstores and video stores offer pornographic material. In UK, they don't have a statistics. Okay? Now, he goes on to say, outnumbering McDonald's restaurant in the U.S. by a margin of at least 3-1. Now, listen to this. The estimated annual box office sales are about $50 million. About 70% of pornographic magazines sold, this will scare you, eventually end up in the hands of young children. Amen. So we've got a work to do. Proverbs says this. Proverbs 9:12. Praise the Lord. God is on the throne. And the church, we have to wake up. We just have to wake up. There are so many scriptures here, but I've just taken this one. Proverbs 9:12 says, I'll start from 12. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you will bear it alone. A foolish woman is clamorous, she is simple and knows nothing. For she sits at the door of her house, on a seat by the highest places of the city, to call to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant, but he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. Amen. Secret water, she says, is sweet. And pornography to so many people is secret water. They sit down in the fantasized room and they watch this thing. But at the end of the day, it has its consequences. Amen. When I read this scripture, it actually blessed me. And it shows me that there is a lot of work we need to do as Christians. Pornography is one area that has been kept hush-hush, and the effect and its consequences is quite devastating. It is alarming, and unfortunately, there aren't many Christian organizations in this country that are dealing with it. Okay? I think from what my wife and myself checked, there are probably two Christian organizations. And even a lot of people do not believe that it's in the church. Okay? It is in the church. It's crippling the church. Okay? The church has become so infected by it. And what I want to say is, let's not pretend the church is suffering spiritually because of it. Do you know that if in a church you have people practicing it or who are addicted to it, it affects the spiritual life of the church? What people think sometimes is like, oh, it's that person's sin. It has nothing to do with the church. But the Bible clearly tells me, it says, holiness is not infectious, but sin. Remember Achan. The Bible tells us that when Achan stole the forbidden thing, the plague rushed through the whole of Israel, the camp of Israel. And that's what pornography is doing in the church today. And that's why the church is not as powerful as it should be. It has its effect. Psychologically, one of the major effects of pornography is that it attacks the dignity of both the man and the woman. They lose their respect. God's creation. We're created in God's own image. We're supposed to dominate. We're supposed to walk tall. But what pornography does, it brings you down to the level of an animal. Amen. Researchers who have investigated the effects of non-violent pornography. Now listen, I'm saying non-violent pornography because you do have violent pornography. And you see, the funny thing about pornography, a lot of people think it's only on the internet. You have different types. You have those ones that are magazines, the Playboy type. You have the movies that people go to watch. You have the cyber one. You also have the one you phone in, which is the audio one. Okay? So it's all over, and very soon you'll have it on mobile phones. Amen? But I'm talking about the non-violent pornography. They say that continued exposure to pornography had serious adverse effect on beliefs about sexuality and attitude towards women in particular. And I understand that there's a this group that is fighting against it. It's a women's group that is fighting against it, that it should stop because it degrades the woman. Okay? It degrades the woman. But there are many out there who are not concerned about it because when you look, let's be truthful, you see some of the top guns are involved in it. And that's why it's hush-hush. Some researchers have also found that pornography desensitizes people to rape as a criminal offense. So what happens? Because pornography is rife, those who watch it, who are addicted to it, when you tell them that someone has been raped, they do not see it as rape because they don't feel that that's what it is. Another study has shown that addicts have diminished satisfaction with their sexual partners, physical appearance. They look at their partners, they believe that their partners cannot perform the way they have seen those women perform. Amen. Other studies have shown that it can diminish sexual happiness. So a person is in marriage or in a relationship and they're not happy because they believe that their partner is not performing the way they should perform. In America, a nationwide study of University of New Hampshire researcher, his name is Larry Barron, and another guy, Murray Strauss, found a strong statistical link between the numbers of pornographic materials distributed in an area with a number of rape in those areas. They found out that in those areas where their circulations were high, the rape rate was high compared to areas in which the circulation was low. What does that tell you? And when you look at the society today, the amount of rape that is going on, okay, some you we don't hear about, but it's becoming rampant now. FBI statistic shows that pornography is found, listen to this, at 80% of the scenes of violent sex crimes or in the home of addicts. Amen. So the church needs to pray. In the area of emotions, addicts feel insecure and ashamed. They always feel withdrawn and unable to share deep emotions or feelings. Now, why is that so? Because they have built a world of fantasy for themselves. Anything outside that world is of no importance to them. And so what they want to do is always run into that, that world of fantasy which they've created for themselves. A gentleman who is addicted said this to his friend, "I have been unfaithful to my wife. None of my colleagues know about this, but I think I'm addicted to sexual fantasy." What was he saying? He was saying that he has built himself this castle of fantasy that no one else knows about it. It's only him. It affects family lives. It destroys family lives. Because you see what they do, their wives do not know. No one else knows. Unlike substance abuse, which is so easy for you to see the symptom or you smell it or you can see the way the person staggers through, a person who is addicted to pornography can live a normal life and you won't even know that that's what they're doing. It is not easily detected. So what happens? They live a life of constant lie. You can never know. It's so sad sometimes because I think my sadness is the fact that it affects spiritual things of the church. Okay? In their jobs, some people have lost their jobs because of this addiction. Some have been demoted. I heard a story of a guy who he was supposed to go for a meeting, and whilst he got his stuff ready, by chance, he was going to present a project to a massive company, and his bosses just decided to go through his laptop. And guess what they found? Pictures of nude girls, sites he has visited. He lost his job. No, he was demoted. You all know the story of the Soham murder. You remember the Maxine and Ian Huntley case? You remember the policeman who was leading the case? Amen. After such an honorable thing that he did, he was in front of telly, the camera screen, everything, and then for them to find that, what did he do? He destroyed the career. He destroyed his career. It destroys people's career. Amen. Spiritually, most addicts lose their spiritual effectiveness. I read a story about a daycare director who was serving 3 years for 3 counts of first degree sexual assault. He confessed about his addiction to pornography and he said, "No one knew about this, not even my wife." And that's the funny thing about it. No one knows. Their wives are always the last to know. He had this to say, "I do now recognize fully the shocking facts about pornography and how it will draw you into the clutches away from God. It draws people away from God. Because the Word of God says that God will not behold anything evil. He's of too pure eyes to behold evil. And guess what happens? This is what happens to a person who is addicted to pornography. They become too ashamed to go before God. It cuts down their relationship with God. And most people who practice it find it difficult to pray. Why? Because they know that what they're doing is wrong. And they feel, okay, because I've done it, I cannot go to God. I might as well stay away from God. Proverbs 6:25. What I'm doing, I'm just showing you effects and consequences. Next week, we're going to look more in depth into what the Bible says about all these things. 6:25 says, "Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids." Amen. "For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes and not be burnt? Can one walk on coals and his feet not be seared?" Amen. So what is he saying here? He's saying categorically that this, the addiction to pornography, can destroy you, will destroy your relationship with God, will destroy your walk with God, will destroy everything around you. Can you imagine someone, I know there are those who walk in fire, right? I don't know how they do it, they walk in fire barefooted. But God is saying in his word that it will destroy you. It will burn you. It doesn't really matter what you try to do. It will burn you. Amen? Talking about adultery, it causes adultery and it also causes fornication if you're unmarried. Matthew 5:27 says, "Ye have heard that it was said, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone that looked on a woman to lust after her had committed adultery with her in his heart." He's saying that the mere fact that you have looked, the mere fact that you have lusted after her in your heart, you've committed adultery. You've committed fornication. Amen. But I have good news for you. The things that are impossible with men are not impossible with God. I think with drug abuse, alcohol abuse, I'm not saying any of them is good, but this is one of the most deadliest sins. And that's what the Bible is saying here. But a good thing is that God can set them free. Amen. God can set them free. Amen. And that's why, for me, I'm having this passion now to reach out to people who are struggling in that area. Amen. The other set of people we want to look at are the shopaholics. Amen. Let me ask you a question. What is your closet or wardrobe full of? Is it with clothes or shoes that you have not worn, forgotten you bought them, and the price tags are still on some of them? Do you know there are people like that who've got wardrobes full of clothes that they've not worn, even shoes that they bought? That's a sign of a shopaholic. The real consequence of shopaholic, when you're addicted to shopping, is that it affects your job, it affects your marriage, it affects your finances. There's a story about a lady who was fired who got fired because she was compulsively shopping on the internet all day and could not stop. She was at work and she was just shopping. And she could not stop. I know of people who, once they see, I don't know, there's a station on a channel on telly called QVC. People who just sit and shop. Who remembers Imelda Marcos? She was loathed. She was hated by the people of her nation for her compulsion buying of shoes. She had so many collection of shoes. I think she had up to 1,000. 3,000 pairs of shoes. Amen. They were top people, top known people, like Honor Sees. She was a compulsive buyer. Even Diana actually fell into the category of those who are compulsive shoppers. When Imelda Marcos' husband's government was toppled, the people were excited. Amen. They were excited, and I think they went even as far as wanting to stone her. But ask, what happened to those shoes? Amen. Shopaholics have problems with their lives in the sense that they become very secretive. They hide things from their spouses. And guess what? When it is discovered, what do you think will happen? It will cause family feud. And if the person does not stop, what happens next is that separation begins. Finance, it affects their finances. They tend to get themselves deeper and deeper into debt because they are busy spending money they don't have. They keep different credit cards and are oblivious to their bank balance. Amen. Do you know, some of us men do the same thing. Even though when you really listen, they say women are the worst shopaholics. But I think it's a cut across. I sometimes can look at something and, okay, I have this gadget. And when I go out and I see another one. Oh, I like this one, I want to buy it. And then I go out and I see another one, I like this one, I want to buy it. You see, if you keep doing that, you just have a room full of junks, because at the end of the day, you don't know what to do with them. Because as the trend goes, there's an advert that I like so much, it's in America, where this guy went out and bought a telly, a computer. And it was like, computer XYZ. Just arrived. So he carried it. He was so excited. I've just got the latest one. And then as he went past, he came to a billboard that said, computer XZZZ coming out next week. So we can keep buying, but the fact remains that we can never catch up with the system. Okay? But what does the Bible say about that? And it was exciting for me to look at Genesis 3:6, because as I was doing it, I just thought about Genesis 3:6. It says, when the woman saw that the tree looked like good eating and realized what she would get out of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's read it again. Genesis 3 verse 6. Because it's quite interesting, because as I was preparing this, I just thought about it. It says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to what? The eyes. Amen. And the tree was desirable to make wise, she took of its fruit and she ate. Amen. And she ate. What I'm showing you here is what the Bible also says in the book of 1 John, First John 2 verse 16. 1 John 2:16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. What is he saying? What is it that will make us see these things and want to go for it? Is the lust of what? Of the flesh. The lust of the eyes and the pride of life. We see it, oh, I love it. We see it, oh, it will be good for my body. Oh, what will people say when they see me with all these shoes? So sometimes they go into shops and they just pick this, pick that, pick everything. Because they have this compulsive desire in them to buy stuff. Amen? It has its consequences. The last one I want us to look at tonight before we go is the workaholic. Amen? The workaholic. Let's quickly look at a scripture in Ecclesiastes 2. You see, workaholics never know when to stop. Amen. They never know when to stop. And the problem about it is that the family suffers, the health suffers. So some of them, even when they are growing tired, when they have heart attack, they still keep going. They still keep going. And why do they keep going? Because they want to show. Some of them, it's a kind of an appellation. That I am a workaholic. And they keep going. But the Bible tells us in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says, 2, verse 26, for God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. But to the sinner, he gives the what? The work, amen, of gathering and collecting, that he may give to who? A man who is good before God. This is also vanity and grasping of a wind. Amen. Children suffer. The wife suffers. Your health suffers. Do you know sometimes there was a time I was like that. I just kept going and going and going. I remember there was a day I was so ill. Driver who normally would pick me to work, picked me, and I went to the location, and I was still directing, but all the way I was throwing up, and I got there, I sat down, and I put the chair down, and I said, let's go, but I was extremely tired, well, because I just love to work, but guess what, then I was still cutting for lucky. But guess what used to happen? I'll tell Falake, I'll see you 12 o'clock tomorrow. I might not see her until 3 days later. And she used to get really, really upset about it. And she used to ask this question. She would ask her friend, do you think this is the man I should marry? Because I just used to go on. And even when I came to England and I started working, my manager would say to me, Roland, go and take your lunch. Because once I sit down, I'm just going on. But guess what? At the end of the day, it does not help your health. It does not help your family. And let me give you a revelation. A revelation. If you die today, amen, guess what? They'll send cards around, but within the next 10 minutes, they've already started thinking of who is going to take your place. Is that a revelation to anyone? Amen. And now I've cut down trying to spend more time with my family. It is spending more time with your family, spending more time with God. Because you see what happens when you walk and walk and walk. You get so tired, you cannot spend time with God. And even when you spend time with God, you're not spending quality time. Amen. And that's why we need to look at all these things. And that's why I like what Charles Finney said about innocent amusement. If your health is suffering, if your family is suffering, and God, the relationship you have with God, the intimacy is not working, then there's a problem. You need to check, because it has its consequence. Amen. Because the time we spend in the presence of the Lord will energize us. He will give us wisdom as to what to do. And even the task that the money we're running after, He will direct our step how to get to it. Amen. Amen. I hope this blesses you, and I hope it challenges your life. I know that I've brought three areas there. There were other things I wanted to bring in, but I just said to myself, let me just bring this three. Okay. Apparently, I don't know if you ever heard of this guy who was working in his office, and he died at his work table, right? And they didn't discover it until 3 days later. Amen. Listen, the Bible says if a man does not walk, he should not eat. But also, it says here that the man who does not know when to stop, it's a task. It's not a joy anymore. It becomes a task. And the Bible says it's only sinners that He has given that task. Amen. But to those who please Him, all those things they gather will be passed on to them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I hope this blesses you. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know what I want us to do is I want us to pray. Okay. I want us to stand in the gap and begin to pray for a lot of people, especially in the body of Christ, who are hooked on pornography. There are other stories I could have told you tonight, like a man, an army chaplain, a navy chaplain, who for years was suffering with that, and he has a thriving church. He didn't know what to say to them. Amen. But you see, the good thing about God is that God wants to set all these people free. The Bible says, for this reason Christ came, that He might destroy the work of the evil one. Amen. In Colossians, I think it's 2 or 3, He says, He made an open show of powers and principalities. He stripped them of all their powers. Amen. So I want us to stand on our feet for the next 3 minutes. Let's begin to pray. I want us to pray strong. I want us to pray strong. Let's break that yoke in the name of Jesus. Some of you will wonder, why is it that every 4 months I say let's have a time of sanctification? It is needed. It is needed. Because you do not know what church is carrying. You do not know. If people were to speak to you, you'd be shocked what the church is carrying. Amen. Let's begin to pray.
If you have been blessed by this message, please don't hesitate to contact us at www.wordoflife-lcc.org. And remember, God loves you.